The sisters had the grand idea, not me, that to have a little film about Canaan in the desert. Now, the film has not come into being totally. Only a tiny little thing has started, and it's not even very good. And on this one, on this machine, it is different from our machine, and I don't know, it comes out pretty blurry here. But Sister Domitila said they haven't seen anything, rather a little bit blurry than nothing. Yeah. Would you agree or rather not?
Agree.
Yes. We better agree. You know, it was really not supposed to be a real film, just a film clip to put on the website. Right. And so we're not into a big production. But even with that, because we're so few anymore and there was so much going on in the spring, so we said when it's done, it goes up and we cannot just put that pressure on ourselves to try to get everything done. And so we haven't had time to finish it, but it gives you a little bit, you know, just a few minutes of what's going to be up there one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and dear Peggy, one more second. Somebody offered me that book for using it, and I forgot who it was. So to whom does this go back?
This no, book? To Daniela, that's the book. That
was it that in your bag?
That's the book that was going to use
it. It's
in our bag?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, well, thank you very much. It's my book.
It's a journal.
Okay, thank you very much.
In these dark, godless times of ours, centers and homes are needed.
8 minutes.
You can tell us the rest.
That's right. That's
okay. We can later. We can share some stories, and then we have the board meeting from this last year that will show a little bit.
Okay. As I tell you how the very beginning was, you just heard still here that a Lutheran pastor invited, came to Germany, Canaan, and asked the mothers, could you not have a little Canaan also in America? Could you not send some sisters? And you know what? You could send them to our church and fellowship, and they can stay with us a year and learn the way how it is in America, and then they can go on their own. So the first sisters left there in 1966 by boat, as you saw that, and went by ship and then by Greyhound. They were on the way to Los Angeles and had to transfer in Phoenix. And one of the two sisters, stepping out of the bus, trying to get to the other bus, had the feeling that is the place where the Lord wants us. Is this not amazing? And we are now in Phoenix. But of course, she probably forgot it for quite a while, and she was on her way to Los Angeles. Everything was brand new, and the language was also difficult in the beginning. But they had a year in Los Angeles with Pastor Christensen, who was in the charismatic movement. And then, in the meantime, at the end of the year, a couple from Phoenix came to the mother house with the name of Stephen Hagen, and they said, we are elderly, and we have a manor building and then some condominiums, and if ever sisters would come to America, they could use one of the condominiums, and when they grow, they can have more, and then they can have the manor house and the whole thing. That sounded very good, and it was just at the time when the sisters were thinking, where are we going from here? So at that time, Corrie Ten Boom was in the mother house called Tante Corrie, and Mother Basilea asked her and said, Tante Corrie, what do you think if we would have a place in Phoenix? We first had to look it up. We never heard about Phoenix, where that was. And she said, if I would start something in America, I wouldn't go to the east, I would go to the west, and that the spiritual climate is pretty good in Phoenix, and that would be a good place. So that dear couple got, yes, we would like to take your offer. And at that time, we were looking also at other countries where sisters would go. And Sister Josepha, who some of you know very well, she was supposed to go to Greece. But Sister Josepha could not learn Greek. It was just impossible. So it was then decided that the one sister who was a year in America would come back, and Sister Josepha would go directly from Germany to Phoenix. Now, as you know, we are going the way of faith, also, you know, with the food in the mother house, so we do not buy the things normally, except people give us money for food or for the sisters, and we can use it. Otherwise, it goes in the ministry. And Sister Josepha thought, I'm not so sure how that will go with the food. We are unknown there in Phoenix, and so she kept her chocolate bar and the last sandwich from the thing. Who knows when I get my next thing? So one sister went back home to Germany. The other one came from Los Angeles to Phoenix, and Sister Josepha came over here directly to Phoenix. And they started downtown, not totally, but pretty much downtown in Phoenix, Camelback Road and 32nd Street. And they were really had no idea about the heat and that we should drink a lot, you know. They had not many friends yet. And I heard a story, she fainted and somebody said, didn't you drink anything? So they had to rebuild that one condominium which they wanted to use then. They had Bible studies there already. And then the neighbor said, we don't want any soup kitchen here. So the sister said, go over and tell them we eat also meat and potatoes. And she did not understand, you know, a soup kitchen. So that didn't help. They still didn't want us, even with eating potatoes and so on. So they wrote to the mother house, please pray that the people change their minds and that we can stay here. And the mothers wrote back, you are guests in the United States, and if they don't want you there, then you have to move. And to make the story short, one lady came, and it was the first time the Bible study, and she had a guest house. And when she heard the sisters had to move, she said, you can come to my guest house till you have your own place. And one of the realtors who came to the Bible study tried to find a place. Should I tell the whole story?
I don't know. Yes.
You're
starting.
So she went, the real estate man looked around and then found a place, and the owner was living not on that property but just across the street, and he went to her and said, is that for sale? And so, and she said, no way is that for sale. I'm not selling it at all. And he said, and then after a while she said, I'm only selling it to sisters in a convent. She had dreamt, the Lord told her never to sell it except for sisters in a convent. He said, oh, I'm coming for sisters in a convent. So it was all from the Lord. And then, of course, you know, we had no money. There was no money. And she said, oh, if I can trust sisters, they can pay as they get money. Mm-hmm. Have you heard about things like that? It's the Lord's planning. Yeah, he is so good and looks into the details. So we got the property, but there was one little house where the ducks lived in, and there was for the hens.
Hen house.
Yeah, a shed and hens, but that we had to tear down. But the duck stuff, they were scraped out with shovels, and that was then the first living house. And we were not very well known, you know, brand new and two sisters. And yeah, in the reality books you can read a little bit more, because the city first didn't want to give us the property. If one of the ladies marries, then the whole thing flies off.
Thank you.
Yeah, I should have bought that. Thank you very much. So anybody who doesn't have that, it has really neat pictures in here. Lots of pictures from the prayer garden, from the fountain, how our wall was built. And it is a nice story, and you can start just anywhere to read it. And how a whole freeway was moved. You could have heard the noise a little bit in the video if it would have worked. Also, the Father in heaven has so many ways, and in such different ways he can care. You know, one time we got a phone call and somebody said, my son is working at Walgreens or something, and he has, Safeway, he has a lot of produce. Would you like produce? And the sister on the telephone said, oh yes, we would like it. And when she came off the phone, all the other sisters were gone. She told me and said, we're getting some produce. I said, what is produce? She said, well, I think kind of spaghettis or something. We said to everything yes. And we were very astonished when two crates of apples came, two crates of pears, two crates of cranberries frozen. That's produce. Well, we learned that word. But it is amazing. And when you think you have a source where the food comes from, boom, it stops. And when you think nothing at all is coming, a lady drives up. Sister Josepha one morning told us, we will have bread pudding for lunch. Oh, how nice. When she got to the kitchen, there was not a piece of bread. She didn't look before she told us. And so at 11 o'clock, a station wagon drives by and the whole drives in, and the whole bag is full of bread. Can you imagine on the day she announced we will have bread pudding? Also, the Lord is very good. But then there were times you can ask, well, were you ever hungry? No, we were never hungry. One time, a little VW bug drove in full of cans. They emptied the church pantry, and the whole kitchen, we had a small kitchen, was full on the counter with all the cans. We had to put them in the tiny little living room. And Sister Rebecca said, I don't know what we do with all of that food. Neither did I know anything. And can you imagine, 2 days later came the first two young men to help us. And after the first evening, the mother called off the one of the two and said, I have only one question. Do you have enough food? Sorry. But the father had planned ahead. One time, a shamrock car drove in, white and green. Do you have that in Texas, shamrock?
Yes.
The dairy product?
Yeah. Oh, dear.
And he said, what do you want, ladies? And we said, we have not called you. We have not ordered anything. I'm supposed to come here and give you what you want. Well, so sorry, sir. Must be a mistake. We have not ordered anything. Well, he was not too happy about it, and he left. And about an hour and a half later came a phone call. If you ladies don't make up your mind what you want, somebody in Colorado pays for you so and so much, you tell me what you want. Oh, thank you. I mean, you are. It's amazing. So kind and so friendly and so dear and so together. Well, we were not always so together. We first had to find each other, and it took quite a while. But I tell you one story where the Lord really had to work in my heart. At that time, we had already a larger list of friends, and we have a very special service for Good Friday called Let Me Stand at Your Side. And it is for 5-hour service and has five, at that time, tapes and a book going along. And we had announced it, I was in that department, for Good Friday and Easter in our spring mailing. Well, we had no books. We had no books. We could make the tapes. We could, do that, but we had no books. So we had ordered it from the mother house, and the ship, it was a big shipment, also with other things, and the shipment was on the way, and the ship Wilhelmina had arrived in Los Angeles, and the people sent us papers and said, you have to fill out custom forms, and then give them back when they are signed, and then we can release the shipment. The Wilhelmina will come. It hadn't been yet in the harbor. I went with these papers to Sister Josepha and said, Sister Josepha, can you please help me to fill that stuff out? I never knew how to fill out forms. I never liked it. And this was all English in addition. She said, I think you just try yourself. I was so angry. I put these papers in the back of my main drawer and in the bag and closed the drawer. And then I forgot it all. Then the next thing came and said, the ship has arrived, your papers are not here. Every day in the harbor it costs so much stuff. But you see, it wasn't my fault, it was Sister Josepha's. I was so sure about that. It was a real serious situation. And the next thing was, the custom office man who was supposed to help us then, I then found the papers and I went to Sister Josepha and she helped me fill it out. See, she did help me. And we sent it in and they wrote back and said, the man is in vacation. And the next thing was, but it wasn't my fault. And the third thing was, the harbor, the people on and the harbor, they were on strike when the man came back from vacation. And I remember the spot in our workshop, and Sister Rebecca came to me and said, very quietly, how do you think God will help you when you are so self-righteous? That really hit. She said it very quietly. And I thought, I'm the guilty one in there? And finally it sank in. And I was sorry. Yeah, it is a really bad story. But then, how the Lord worked. The harbor strike ended, everything fell in order, and in 2 days we had the books. Hallelujah. And the thing is, I thought, how will God help me now? Mm-hmm. You know, she said, how will God help you when you're so self-righteous? Okay, I will not be self-righteous, but how will God help me now? Mm-hmm. You know, it's beyond His help. No, never, ever. Beyond His help. Yeah, he is so good, and he doesn't spare anything. He sends people in vacation and has strike for the others, only for making one little person come back to him. Is it not amazing? Such a loving God we have. Yeah. And so there are lots of stories. Now I have to look for a moment. One time, the rescue mission called us. We had very dear co-workers. Betty was one of them for many years. We had Susanna from England. And Susanna was, at that time, the cook. And she had quietly, we didn't even know, when food came, she always took something away because Christmas was close. And she wanted to have some nice things for Christmas. So she had a whole shelf where she had put slowly but slowly nice things. Now the rescue mission called us, and Sister Rebecca went over there, looked at the pantry and said, yeah, we have food, you can come. And Susanna said, this was awful Christmas for you, that you have something nice to eat there. And Sister Rebecca said, well, I'm not sure exactly about her words, but she must have said to her, well, Susanna, they are in very deep need, but think it over. It was, she put it then on her if she wanted to give it. And Susanna said, give it. And she went to her room and cried, give it. And the Father in heaven, 2 days after, we received every single item twice. Mm-hmm. And not from the rescue mission, you know, from somewhere else. Yeah, we have lots of these food stories, but other things too. But one time we didn't receive any meat. No meat, I don't know, for a long time, no meat. Sister Josepha said, this is really strange. The Father would give us some meat. This is strange. I said, now I'm going to look everywhere for the meat. And she looked, and we had not a central kitchen, but we had refrigerators there and there and there, and people gave us often things that were on the brink of getting bad, you know. So she looked, and in one refrigerator she found a beautiful, I don't know if it was a turkey or a big roast. She said, I can't believe it. What is this meat doing here? And one of the sisters, Sister Margaret, said, well, I put this there because my family is coming and I wanted to have something nice for my family. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? You're not trusting God for your family that they get out with this meat. How Sister Josepha was. So the meat came on the table, cooked. And from then on, we had meat again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. The Lord wants that we are dependent on Him and not make our own plans. But the Lord is so good. For instance, we wanted for a long time to have a prayer garden, like in the Mother House, mm-hmm. where we have made out of clay. The sisters made statues of the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane and built a grotto with rocks and little hills, and we have the Lord Jesus taken prisoner, and we have big, nice other things where you have only scripture word, and then you come to an encircled place where the Lord Jesus is on the scourging pillar, and then being crowned with thorns and judgment seat, and the cross bearing is a beautiful one, and then the three crosses. We wanted a prayer garden. We wanted so much a prayer garden. And I envisioned if we only could have pictures of it, maybe that size, along the wall from our workshop. And there was a little walkway, and then came a trellis with some, I don't know how you call these things, greenery that would give a little bit shade to this wall. And one day the Lord told our sisters in Germany how to make replicas of the things in the prayer garden in Germany, but not out of clay. That was a difficult thing. You cannot ship big clay figures in over the ocean. They would most probably break. It was fiberglass and resin. Mm-hmm. And the sister made one thing out of clay, and then she made out of that with silicone a form. And then usually the clay thing was broken out and was kaput, but you had a form and you could put in this mold, fiberglass and resin, and out comes something beautiful. And you can ship it and it doesn't break, and you have it so often as you pour the thing in the mold for all the other countries. Mm-hmm. And so we have prayer gardens around the world. Mm-hmm. And we received these, but then we had no idea, you know, how to do it. How to build something around them or make little hills, or you cannot just put a sculpture here and a sculpture there. It needs a little surrounding, it needs maybe some rocks. One time we thought if we would take the bricks like the houses were done, but they were white painted. Can you imagine a prayer garden with white bricks and there's a statue? Didn't look so good. Then Sister Clover came one day home and said, she had a flat tire and had to go across the street or just get gas, I don't know. But she had to go, when she drove back with a car to Canaan, it was just 3 minutes away, not even three with a car, and she had to go to the filling station because she couldn't go on. And there while waiting, she looked across the street and they were taking down, you thought it was a dirt hill, but underneath was all Arizona nature rock, under the dirt. And they wanted to make a business center there, so they had to get rid of that. So Sister Clover and I, we went there to the people, and we asked if we have these rocks which are there. They said, we are just working here. We cannot give you any permission. Well, we said, to whom does the whole thing belong? And he was a Christian, that man. And he said, you can take as many rocks as you want. Somebody gave us a Suburban, and we sisters went with crowbars and with other things and got all the rocks. And the rocks for the resurrection, they are these rocks, this big. But there, some men helped us, and also one of our brothers came. So and the Lord cared for everything. And now we have a prayer garden. Who of you has gone through the prayer garden? Would you say it's special?
It is,
it is
a taste of heaven. Yes. It is a taste of heaven.
Yes. It sends the Holy Spirit the moment he walks under that heart.
Yes.
And we the cross.
Mm-hmm. And you, yeah, Betty?
Can you tell them about the concrete truck and Sister Jessica?
Yes.
If Sister Josepha is in Australia or if she in Phoenix, she knows how to do things. We needed foundations for these sculptures, so we had to dig, and we mixed cement in a wheelbarrow. Who of you has ever mixed cement? Is it an easy job?
No.
It's a very heavy job. It's a very heavy job. So Sister Joseph said, that's enough. That's enough. I'm going to go out and bring you a cement truck in. You think she did? Of course she did. 15 minutes later, she drives in, smiling, behind her the cement truck. She said, yeah, this lady was just looking where she should dump the rest of her cement. I said, you could dump it in our place.
No.
She went up to some cement truck and the lady said, oh, I was just looking if I have to drive there in the desert, I have to dump the leftover of my cement. Yeah. Oh, Sister Josepha said, I hear a cement truck somewhere. Oh, yeah, but do you have any idea what the angels are working? The angels are working overtime, all the time. If you would like to organize things, how they fall into place, you couldn't do it like that. And one time, two young people from another church, they went up in the mountains, because behind Canaan in the desert is the mountain preserve. And they came and told us and said, you have angels all around your place. All around. Yeah. And our 40th Street was a drug street where people, you know, who use drugs used to go up into the mountains and do their things there. So we were very grateful. Excuse me.
We're so glad to have Sister Daniela here this time, because, you know, she was there in the beginning years, and she is an excellent storyteller. But, you know, when she starts telling about, it's amazing. Sister Daniela is amazing, because, you know, it was
you
not...
You can sit down again.
Don't
one to hear such things.
Oh, Betty, she wants to tell something.
Oh, thank you.
But see, she wants me to tell, and then she doesn't want me to tell.
You didn't tell a story. You told
me. Oh, I didn't get that. Well, then I was going to start the story, but I had to start with that.
Okay, you're up.
Okay.
Can I tell a quick story?
Yeah, come up here.
No, I don't need to come up there. Everybody can hear my voice. It echoes. First time I went to Canaan was, Peggy, how many years ago was that?
Too many.
Marjorie was, what, 12? Anyway.
16 years ago? 17?
But anyway, there were 12, I think, of us, or 13, that got in a van and drove all night and got there. And that morning, we were having breakfast, and we were having oatmeal. And I want to tell you, it was the best oatmeal I've ever put in my mouth. And I asked Sister Josepha, I said, "How can you give me the recipe for this? It is so good." And she kind of chuckled and said, "Well," she said, "the ice cream man brought us his leftovers a couple of days ago, and it, you know, because he couldn't sell because it was all melted. And so they had made the oatmeal with the melted ice cream." So no wonder it was delicious. And that same trip, the sister that did the cooking had prayed and believed that the Lord wanted to give us Texans a barbecue. And but she didn't have anything in the way of barbecue to give us. But I think it was even the night before or that morning of, someone came and brought not just hamburger meat, but ground sirloins to the sisters, and we had hamburgers. So it was a real testimony of how the Lord provides, and beyond anything that we can ask or even imagine.
I have one tiny story too. So I was there one of the times with our grandgirls, because I take our granddaughters there when they turn 10 for a little visit to the sisters, and it's the most amazing experience. I just can't even tell you. But one time we had the most delicious cookies. I thought, what have you made? These cookies are so good, and I would love the recipe. Well, they said, I think it was Sister Bliss, "Oh, you know, we have all these cookies, and we have crumbs left over from the cookies, and we don't want to throw the crumbs away. So we take the crumbs, and we make cookies out of the crumbs of the cookies.
Of all
different kinds. And because I'm like, what's the crunchy, crunchy in there?"
It's actually one of the churches. They have a huge vacation Bible school program in the summer. And they had, I don't know, 800 kids or something like that, you know, and they went on for a week. And so they bring all these crumbs. Most of them are crumbs. Not all of them are. But, you know, so Sister Pinea, she's very inventive. You know, she came up with that, mixing them all, just adding some egg and re-baking them. And really, we have gotten so many comments on those. We call them resurrection cookies.
They are so bad.
I love mostly the 4-year-old ones and 5-year-old ones. They are full of questions. They don't care what the other one says.
Yes, they don't.
And, I'm sorry, I go closer. It is so special because the prayer garden is, there is the place for Gethsemane, for instance, and they can sit down and they can listen and they are attentive and want to hear everything. And then they get up, they walk, they see a lizard, they see a rabbit, and they sit down again by the next place. So the prayer garden is just perfect. One time I was with third graders for 2.5 hours in the prayer garden. I was totally exhausted telling them and stories, and we were at the resurrection, and I said, this is the end now, and the Lord Jesus is the victor, and, you know, a little bit on. Now you can get up and run to the Father Fountain. And they were sitting and saying, that's all? I mean, the prayer garden is just marvelous to teach children. And I tell them there also at the Gethsemane, I say, now, we know that God hears our prayers. Jesus was praying so hard to God that these things would not happen to him. He ended each time with, but your will. But did God not listen? I mean, we know God hears prayers, but just sometimes, does he not? Sometimes he doesn't listen. And the children are thinking, no, he listens always. Good. And mostly they come up with this good question, with this good answer. And I say, yes, he always hears them, and he answers, but maybe a little bit different. And then I tell them the same thing. I said, either God changes the situation that is hard, or he makes us strong to go through. If the children learn nothing else on this whole little tour through the prayer garden, but that, and with God, suffering is never the end. With God, suffering is never the end. Would you all like to say it?
Yes.
With God, suffering is never the end.
And really, the children are precious. One time we had several groups going through the prayer garden, and Sister Josepha and I, we were at the parking lot, and I said, Sister Josepha, I have the group with the Baptists. There is something special you have to know about the Baptists. What is it? And she said, please, let me in peace. My group is now coming. The group wasn't yet there at all. And I said, can you not tell me quickly? No way. So when the group, my Baptist group, came, I said to them, they were all adults. I'm so sorry if I speak a little bit like for children. I love children, and I normally go with children through the prayer garden. They said, oh, that's fine with us. And so we went through the prayer garden, and at the end, the leading lady said, my, you brought so many Bible passages. It's so amazing, you know. And that was the thing. The Baptists need to hear lots of Bible passages. Oh. But the prayer garden is very, very special. And we normally we bring the children through, and we have a tour with them, and it's all a little bit different. And I tell you two things which I'm telling often at the scourging, where the Lord Jesus lost so much blood, and some doctors say he lost there more blood than by the crucifixion. So I tell the children about the preciousness of the blood of Jesus, and we have different stories. I tell you afterwards still a little bit about the military. One military chaplain wrote us back and said, I'm praying every day for every single one of my soldiers in my battalion, that I bring them all back alive and in good health. Yes. He prayed the blood of Jesus over everyone. And he said, one day we had to walk over a minefield, and usually they go 10 abreast or something, but this time there was only a jeep going ahead and two filed behind, because they had no idea where the landmines were. But the jeep did hit a landmine, and the jeep exploded, 1,000 pieces. And what happened to the soldier who drove it? He had a little shrapnel in his left leg. They operated it out, and when he came home, he was in good health and was a hero. Well, he certainly was a hero. And in the same battalion, there was a man lying under a truck, a semi-truck, and was putting stuff together underneath. And the one in the cab did not know there was still a man down there and started driving. and the people and the soldiers left and right, they yelled and yelled, but till he stopped, he had driven, you know, a little way. And the man underneath got up and shook the dust off his legs and walked off.
Wow.
There, Chaplain prayed the blood of Jesus.
And that Sister Daniela knows about that dog going. It's because for since 1990 or something, she has had a lot of contact with military chaplains. She, the Lord opened amazing doors to contact them, to send out material ever since the Gulf War. And then there was lots and lots going out at that time. But she keeps contact with them and she sends greetings, you know, with them now through email or, email. To encourage them, and it's just wonderful the different ways that the Lord has opened ways for doors to reach those who we could otherwise not reach. And like Sister Georgine is very much involved in sending out to the prison chaplains, and for 20 years or so we had a lot of TV stations airing the programs and radio stations in the beginning. And it just seems to be a little different as time goes, you know, when it opens new doors. And Sister Daniela, why don't you tell? Because Sister Daniela is the one who is really responsible for our website, too. And the Lord really put that on her heart early. And she went and took a class at the very beginning, you know. Well, maybe not at the very beginning, but at the very beginning of when we started getting involved. And then how the Lord brought people to help. And I think it's so beautiful because it just shows, this is now a new way of reaching people, and that, it's the young people who know all the things about the computers and how to do that. And, Sister Daniela is... she has a mind for it to take in and can do all that. I could never do that. But anyway...
She can do much better things.
No, I can't.
You can do much better things.
But that's again, you know, we're only a few sisters over there, and that the Lord puts us together so that with the different gifts or that we have together, we can fill the holes and help each other out. But I think you should tell, because that's it's not from the beginning, but it's how the Lord guides and leads right up to right now. Why don't you tell about the help that you got with the internet?
The beginning was I wanted to have our radio programs on the web, and somehow that the radio stations would put it on the web. And the man said, the owner of the radio said, I have no idea, but our website is done by a young man. I give you his phone number. So I phoned him up, and I say, how much would it be to have a website created? But that also we can then add a little bit, go in from behind. And he said, well, I will call you back. I will figure it out. After 10 minutes, he calls back and says, for you, lady, it doesn't cost anything. I came here with, what is that
Good
called?
Good News Club.
Good News Club when I was 4 years old with my mother. Is this not sweet? And then he did it. And then it was given over to us, and I thought, how do we do that now? Comes a young man called Max on Saturday morning to the door from the workshop, has a red toolbox in his hand and says, well, I was sitting on the sofa this morning and my dad said, Max, get up and go and work somewhere. Go to the sister, ask if they need help. What do you need? That's what the Lord does. I said, well, we don't need so much your toolbox, but do you know anything about computers? Oh yeah, I'm making my websites. I said, could you maybe help me and show me? And then he gives me a whole program. He says, Dreamweaver, you know, I have an extra set. You can have it. And shows me. So the Lord, step by step, he helped us. And the latest was, And this, I'm sorry, I back up, this dear young man did it for 20 years almost, 12 years maybe, and he has now three
adopted
special ed children, and he has his own work, and he cannot anymore continue with us. And we knew the website needs rejuvenating, needs a little bit updating to a newer system, you know. And but there, I was not there. The summer before last, came a lady, and she said, "What can
I?" Well, in the meantime, we had tried with a company, and they just wait and nothing gets done.
Yeah, after 4 months, they sent us one piece of paper with some squares, what that would be, and that would be, and that would be. One piece. Yeah, we couldn't do that. And then this lady says, "Can I help you?" And she has a big company for security things or by computer, and she says, "One of my men can take that over and make this all new for you."
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Hallelujah.
It's huge.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Can I tell a story?
Please go ahead.
Well, it wasn't too many years ago. Mary Ellen and I were out, and our projects always come from Sister Daniela, who has a new thought every day, so you never know what you're going to do. You show up, you're there for 5 days, you do whatever. Well, Sister Deborah is one of the sisters who was in this big room where Sister Daniela works now, and she had to return to the mother house. Well, Sister Daniela had been living in this little room adjacent to the big office, and so she moved over. For her work, I should say.
Yeah. It was a walk-in closet, you know, but it was very well used and worked very well then.
So we got there, and she said, in her inimitable way, she said, we should make an Israel room. And so we were to create an Israel room that would have resources and history and books, and it should be pretty. And it should be, you know, have all these different things. So we had a few days to do, and we decided that part of it, it was just all so white or off-white that it needed to have blue paint on some of the shelving to create like this star of Israel. So we have all the plans and the paint and this sort of thing. And the night before, I thought Mary Ellen painted, that she painted something, and she thought I had painted. Neither of us had ever painted anything. And literally, of course, we're sick, and we're thinking, what are we going to do? We cannot botch this. And so the next morning, before we showed up for work, a man who volunteers, a painter, volunteers for them, showed up and wanted to know if they had any painting that needed to be done. Praise God.
Yeah, these two dear ladies had 4 days, and this man came every 2 weeks once. And we called him Mr. Detail because he's painting details. I mean, it was amazing. You did such a beautiful job, and I must tell you, it displays things. Also, and we have also Israeli lamenting music in there, and we had already the most moving experiences. There comes a group from the Wailing Women. They are a prayer group, mainly dear black people, very dear. They come every Saturday and pray in our chapel, and they walk in there and kneel down and start crying and praying for Israel. I've never seen anything like this. It was so moving. One time came a man with his wife, and already at the door where you could look into it.
You're getting too far from the mountain.
He couldn't stand anymore, and he went down in his knees and wept and wept. So what you both have created there is something so special. For many, many people. Then we had second generation Jewish Holocaust survivor group. Also these are the children or maybe the grandchildren. We had invited them and they were 32 of them came. And Sister Domitila played a beautiful song with her guitar, and the welcome was already so important for them. And we did several things, and at the end we went to this Israel room, which is very small, but left and right and so. And they were in awe and wonder, and they stayed there, and it means so much. And then they tell other people, the sisters have an Israel room. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it, Karen?
I think so, yeah.
I think so, too.
Do you have time to tell them about the highway?
The highway? The highway cannot stand. The highway cannot stand. The Lord has claimed this for his own land. Yeah, Phoenix needed highways to connect the north with the south, with the inner city and with the airport, and the traffic was just too jammed. They needed a highway. Called the Highway 51 now. For 4 years, you know, ADOT, they planned long ahead and so forth. For 4 years, the battle went on. Is it going on 40th Street, where the sisters live, or is it going on 32nd Street?
And these are residential streets. So it's going to go through the mountain, through a residential street, through the mountain.
Yeah, it was the mountain preserve. That was
you
the...
It was really... and then we have 10 districts, if I'm correct. And the man for our district, he was that it would not be on 40th Street. Oh, we were so grateful. But he changed his mind in the course of the 4 years, and he was for the 40th Street. And then, on that time, when the final decision came after, and the sisters all over in the other countries were praying for us. Because when you see how a highway is made, it's not only the four lanes on one side, four or the five lanes on the other side. Next to the highway, for all the gravel and the machinery and everything, is huge. It would have taken totally, Canaan totally away. And the mayor of Scottsdale wrote us already a letter and said, I will help you relocate. I mean, it was really, really serious. And both of our mothers had been on Canaan, which was a great joy for us. And especially Mother Maturia was almost for a whole year there, which was also a big sacrifice for her. And there was so much in the ground. You know, you cannot just relocate like that. So the last meeting came. And I was allowed to be there downtown in the city hall. And there were right away two parties. They had yellow signs, take 40th. And these people, front and back with the sign, take 40th, they were sitting as one big block there. And the other ones, and we belonging to it, sat on the other side. And then the meeting went ahead. And luckily, the other group came first. And they said how important it is and that people in wheelchairs, if they would go with a car through the mountain, then the poor people in the wheelchair could see some mountain preserve and some nice things. And of course, there needs to be a tunnel. But the tunnel is really cost only for square feet or whatever, so and so much. And that would be really the thing for the city to do. Then our group spoke, not we sisters, but, you know, people from who also were more for taking 32nd Street. And that had a natural opening through the mountains. On 40th Street, they had to make a big tunnel. And they said, yes, we read exactly the same book as you did. And for the square foot of, I don't know what, it is exactly that amount. But these are sewer tunnels. For the sewer and not for cars going through. And it was amazing. I was sitting there, we thought we are totally defeated. Sister Rebecca later said, I only thought it will not happen as before the Lord Jesus comes back, because, you know, till they finally build it and so forth. And I have not such a connection to the Archangel Michael, but I said, Michael, with your armies, be here, Michael. What you do in such a moment is interesting. And then came the voting of the people who said, the district people, what do you call these?
Council.
Yeah, yeah. They sat down there at their long oval table, and we all sat, you know, like this on these high rises. And then they were leaving constantly, and the mayor was leaving too. And I thought, they don't even hear what he said. I had no idea that through loudspeakers, through the whole building, you know, they hear everything. So now they started voting. And the first one said, I am for the freeway taking 32nd. And the next one voted, was 32nd. And then came the ninth one, 32nd. And the 40th said, I am for, the 10th one said, I'm for 40th Street. So it was 1-9. And yeah. It was so amazing. It was so amazing. The Lord really preserved his Canaan. I tell you one more story, only how the Lord, if you want still, or is it time?
It's okay.
Should I tell that about the military?
Mm-hmm. Also,
we sisters are not for war. Did you all hear that real loud? We are not for war. But we have a heart for the young soldiers. And therefore we want that they get encouraged and that they get strengthened. You know, usually many of them are very young, shipped overseas. They are afraid what happens. They have a young wife, or the young wife has a young man in the States, and they get homesick, and when the people come back from the military service, they are maybe divorced and don't find back their family, how they left it. There is so much heartbreak. So we wanted to do whatever we could. And in the Gulf War, I don't even know how it started, but we... It's in the book, yeah. Thank you. But, yeah, it was a lady, and she said, we had just done 80 packages for prisoners. We were a little bit exhausted, big parcels for the prisons for Christmas, and all the Christmas stars we had cut out by hand, these big stars, they were all in the prison parcel. And we had a little retreat on Canaan in the desert, and the lady says, what about the military? We said, we came just to supper, and the last one was sent out. We just sent the last parcel to the prisoners. We have no star. I'll buy you a star cutting machine. Well, have you seen a star cutting machine? No, there isn't any. I went to so many places. I said, don't you have anything, you know, like a mangle? What do you call that?
A press or something. Like
a press where you press your dresses. If you push it down or something, and it, you know, like a cookie dough, you press down a form. Isn't there anything? No, there wasn't. So finally somebody says, yeah, the printers have such things. They make die cuts. Mm-hmm. How wonderful. So I went to a printer and I called quite a few up and say, do you have a die cut machine? We would like to have stars die cut and send out. And finally, I did find a printing place, and the owner said, yeah, of course, we do that for you, and we do that for nothing. In 3 weeks, you can pick it up. I say, 3 weeks? Then it's Christmas, never arrives for the soldiers overseas. We cannot do that in 3 weeks. So I come home and pretty a little bit depressed. And then 2 hours later, the same man calls up and says, we will work all on the weekend for you. He had a son, Michael, in the Gulf War. Mm-hmm. And he did it all for nothing. And then the thing come on big sheets, you know, and it's always the same ones, and we have, yeah, different, and we'd like to make sets different, like the bookmarks are different, or you have 20 of the same bookmark. Here you have one, here you have your own, and you all 20 have all the same. Not so nice. So Sister Deborah was not feeling well, and taking some time off and having a little break and having some tea, she reads the newspaper clip and sees from tomorrow on, every package that goes out overseas, you have to pay by the pound and not anymore by the boxes. It's very expensive from tomorrow on, if it should arrive for Christmas. And the printers normally, if they tell you you can pick up the stuff, you're very happy if it really is on that day. He called early. It was before lunch. And he said, it's all done and finished. And so I'm going down to the city and pick it all up, come back home. And at lunch I say, we all have to help together, punch out these stars and collate them, you know, thousands. And Sister Domitila was very hard working on a TV guide. I don't know how many stations we had. A TV guide, and we had to print. And a TV guide, at that time, you had to have this call letters, you had the date, you had to have the time, and another letter. And it all had to be correct. And Sister Domitila was so exhausted from that stuff. And we had then to organize that people would all come, punch out, and collate for the same day we had to pack it. Because from tomorrow on, it would be so expensive. And I called the printer up and said, because I wanted to print on the next day, these TV guides, they had to go out in the mailing in order that people can still see the Christmas video when the TV station is airing it. It was all a little bit hectic. And we had one man, and he was couldn't hear very well, and he asked after 4 hours, and for whom are we punching out these stars? Anyway, the stars were punched out, they were then collated, and they were wrapped, and we had 100 little parcels. And in earlier times, we had a nice herald angel as our symbol on our address labels, so big about. And we had all the parcels and everything finished. And I called the post office and says, I'm not sure if we make it till 5 o'clock, but pretty close to it. Could you wait for us? America. The post office says, yeah, if it's for the soldiers, we wait. Aww. They wait. The parcels are done and finished. And somebody goes out, and I'm trying now on the TV guide. It has to be all read and all approved, and two sisters had to... 8 pages was the TV guide. That's what Sister Domitila's work is. She sits here so quietly. 8 pages.
It was at that time.
It was at that... Is that not huge? It is huge. It's huge. So at 9 o'clock, somebody casually says, you know, the post office said in Saudi Arabia, where the things were going, they don't like Christian symbols. The post office says, well, we accept it, but we don't know if they will deliver it in Saudi Arabia. Mm. Oh. Whoa. Can you imagine? My heart sank deep down. They were right. They will not deliver it. The chaplains had not even the name chaplains. They were called morale preachers. They could not have the sign of a chaplain on them because Saudi Arabia, and the soldiers could not take a Bible in there. Yeah, they were against, so much against the Christian thing. So certainly our stars with that label would not make it. So I had called the printer before because the TV guide was so small print, I needed a metal plate to print. I could not do that on a paper plate, and we printed 8,000 or what to send out. And he said, I'm going Fridays to a movie. You can come at 10 o'clock. Oh, great, that's wonderful. Come at 10 o'clock in the evening. And he would make me a metal plate. And now we make new labels for these packages. And first of all, we call the post office. The post office says, they are gone to the main post office. Call the main post office. They are so kind. They look everywhere. I mean, what the angels worked is amazing. They look everywhere. They say, I think it went to the airport already. I'm calling up the airport. The airport looks all over the place, cannot find anything. But they say, you know, call tomorrow morning at 6. So at 10 o'clock, I go to the printer, and he's not home. So that's wonderful. I go back. And Sister Deborah says, you know, you are also printing a letter. That's paper plate. You better try if the paper plate maker works before you go to your printer for the other thing for metal plate. Paper plate maker doesn't work. So I'm going at 11 o'clock to the printer, and he makes me metal plates, and I'm very happy. In the meantime, we, of course, had made, you know, type new labels. And Sister Deborah says, go now and sleep. I wake you up at 5, that you can be at 6 at the post of at the airport. I'm going to the airport, and they say, we are so sorry. We cannot find any boxes with angel labels on them. I say, are you sure? Can you look again? Yeah, we look again. Nothing. So I go to my car, and to our car, and I just want to go in, and they are, hey, lady, come back. We found them, we found them. And the post office lets us do new labels on them. I mean, it's all unheard things.
It is unheard.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so, so dear. And the Lord, and then we got later responses, you know. And somebody said, your stars were everywhere in Saudi Arabia. Oh. On the jeep and on the tents, and oh. And brought the Lord's word to them. Yeah, some encouragement with other things. It's time. Oh, we want to sing. You have a song sheet on the back. It says Father of Comfort.
No, it says yes. Father of Goodness.
Yeah, you're right. It says Father of Goodness. And we want to praise him and sing Father of Goodness.
Okay, thank you. The yellow one.
The yellow one on your sheet. And it's the one with the music notes on the back. And if you be so kind afterwards, leave the song sheet on the chair. Because we need that tonight again. Ready? Yeah. Come sing with me. To read in here about the praise flags in the Grand Canyon, which was impossible, God made it possible. Also. And one more word for tonight. When are we here? 7:15?
Well, 7:30. So I think we better leave it like that.
7:30. Also, it is called the wedding feast. The wedding feast, but you have a good supper now because there will be no food. You might see some grapes, but they are not. It's the spiritual food we want to take in. And you know who is invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb? You, every one of you is invited. That is, we are loved. We are forgiven. The Lord Jesus says, I will go and prepare a place for you. He didn't say, yes, you can come to heaven. I told already my angels, they will prepare a place for you. That would be already huge. He says, I prepare a place for you. So, expect from the Lord, not from our doing or what you see or what we sing or what we do, but expect from the Lord. Ask Him. Ask Him to come and fill your heart with His love and with His glory, because from us you can't expect it.
Sister Danielle, the fun thing, I don't know if you all noticed, but there's actually going to be a real, like, a guy and a girl wedding reception right over here under the canopy over there. So it's set up.
It's a Jewish wedding?
Thing tonight. Yes.
Just a wedding reception.
The wedding reception.
Yeah, and you will hear something also tonight about the ancient Jewish wedding and how it is with the Lord Jesus as the bridegroom. And I must say again for the dear man, we are so grateful that you are here. But the word bride belongs in that case to you too in heaven. Did you three get that? Good. Thank you. So we are very, very grateful. And maybe just by yourself, you want to repeat that song verse or that Bible verse just for yourself between now and 7:30. Because it should be a treasure in you that should grow. And maybe you like to even learn. You never have to recite it in front of anybody of us. But have it as a treasure and let it multiply. Also the things you learn by heart.
Just a practical thing, because we're going to redo the room a little bit. If you would take your belongings with you and then bring, I don't, they probably should bring, except do they need to bring the envelope back? Well, it doesn't.
No, no, you don't.
It doesn't but hurt to have.
No, it doesn't.
And with your arm, be sure to bring it.
Yeah, the, yeah, on your arm and your book, the